Colored in Blue by Willis and Shantae of Positive Light Ministry. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with my co-host Earlene Anthony coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. You can listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Qumran Report. Now, this week on the Qumran Report, we'll be talking about downtown Skid Row and the homeless community with my special in-studio guest, Miss Michelle Autry. She's in the studio here. We're going to be talking about the homeless situation. We're going to be doing some open mic in the latter part of the show. Also sitting in with us in the studio, Bobby Buck, Lehigh Contreras, yeah. Simeon Duckworth. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Right on.
Now, before we get into an in-depth discussion of downtown Skid Row, first of all, welcome to the first show of the Qumran Report for the new year of 2014. Now, before we get into an in-depth discussion of the Qumran Report about downtown Skid Row and the homeless community, I would like to play a short 2-minute interview I did with some Skid Row community members and their thoughts on the Skid Row, and then we'll come back and discuss it.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make a comment. Since I came to the city of Los Angeles in 2007, and I asked a young lady when I got off the Greyhound bus station, where all the people hang out at? She said, down on Skid Row. And it was 2007 on June the 19th when I got off the bus. I never in my life a city like Los Angeles seen this many homeless people that down on Skid Row, living on the street, living on the sidewalk, and I gutted myself. The things I was doing is just like them, and I thank God the Lord delivered me from drugs and alcohol, that I'm in a program that want to help you get a roof on your head and you can move on.
Yeah,
right next door.
Yeah.
It's a lot of resource.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to reach out. But I'm here. I'm willing to help somebody. Every day I'm talking to somebody. I'm willing. Yeah.
What's
to
your
do
name?
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Yeah. Thank you, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Valerie. And I've heard of Skid Row, and I had, you know, my opinions about it. I would come through, but I never would. I would come shopping. But the apartment building that I was living in caught on fire, and I got referred here to the Union Rescue Mission. And I seen all type of things on the streets, and I said, well, Father, God, I'm sitting down here for a reason. Maybe it's to face my fear. But in this community, I didn't see anything but all positive things, regardless of what the habits may be. I've never seen so many people in one community that had so much faith and trust in God. And it really opened my eyes, you know, until it was like, I'm just a happy camper. You know,
okay.
Jesus didn't have no address.
Name?
Valerie.
Okay, yeah, Valerie.
Yeah.
Thank you
so
for the comment.
So I appreciate that, you know, and I've seen how the streets have been cleaned up since I've been here.
Okay, let's go around and talk about what we just heard. You want to start off over there, Simeon?
I'm really lost. Start on his end.
Oh, okay. You, Bobby, you want to start off?
Okay, yes. I was going to say, like with me, myself, when I first came down to Skid Row, I wasn't really ready for it. And it's kind of like... I knew about Skid Row, but I didn't know where I was going. And kind of like what the caller was talking about, you go down there, you see a lot of different things, and it's not as negative as the media portrays it to be. And you found real good-hearted people down there. And it was shocking to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I went down there, like I tell you about, I was depressed. Because I was staying at somewhere, they went up on my rent, and I said, I had my money invested in my website stuff, and I said, well, I got to go do what I got to do to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So I went down to Skid Row, started off at the Union Rescue Mission, and then I was in there just depressed, and I got to thinking, here I am coming here to L.A. to pursue a dream, and I'm on Skid Row. I was like, I ain't come here for this. But that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I started networking and started meeting some people and started, you know, finding some real good-hearted people, mm-hmm. good intelligent people down there.
Earlene.
Well, I was on Skid Row for a while, living at the Union Rescue Mission. But people think Skid Row is something like a whole nother planet or, you know, a nation or something, but it's just people just like any other place or, say, any other city or whatever. But the only thing, they're just gathered in one smaller area, you know, a four-block radius or whatever. But they're just normal people. A lot of them have lost their jobs. You know, they're not all alcoholics or prostitutes or mentally ill. They're just people just like any other place. Like I say, they're just in a more compact area, you know, and there are less activities and less things to do in Skid Row than maybe in other areas of communities.
Okay. Lehi, what are your thoughts on this?
But I have gone only once, you know, uh-huh. see all this community, you uh-huh. know, I don't impress me, you know. Uh-huh. A lot of people, I think, helping each other. Uh-huh. They were given, like, free meals, uh-huh. like, four spots, like that. They were doing, like, I don't know, playing basketball, you know, okay. giving free food, burgers and all that.
Okay.
We're very gonna talk, nice, you know.
We're going to talk about that in details, because one thing that I want to do on this show tonight, because, see, when they talk about Skid Row and the downtown community and the homeless, just about when they talk about anything, if you're talking about gangs and all this kind of stuff, they always talk about the problem. See, they talk about the problems so much, if we, everybody know the problems now. What we want to do is put our creative heads together and start asking ourselves about some possible solutions. And that's how come I'm so glad to have somebody like Michelle. I know Michelle is a community activist, but the one thing that always impressed me about Michelle, and I want to start emphasizing that more, is I think that Michelle is one of the one of your greatest creative artists, writer, and spoken word artists that you got around here in Los Angeles, and most people should know about. She got quite a bit of work, but we'll talk about that later on. But Michelle, what are your comments on what we heard about the young man talking about his view of Skid Row when he came down?
Well, quickly, I just want to say right back at you, because I'm so grateful. I always have to give thanks and praise to the Most High for such angels and saints like Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene, because they give a voice to the people that most are put in the trash, lost, people gave up. They give a voice so people can come up, tell their story, what it really is on the real. And this is one of the most productive legends that I know that's still living and writing and producing and getting recognized by NAACP. My story is that, you know, it's just like a culture. Skid Row is now a disappearing culture. Because see, what the white people and the rich people label as something negative, of course, anything predominantly black is going to be something negative, especially if it's in the street, you know, and if it's, you know, associated with drugs and destitution like Skid Row is. But like Bobby said, it's a lot of good people. And none of those people, I don't see them no more. And it's a shame, because I know that culture is engineered. Anytime those people, when I say those, I mean the gentry, the rich, the white, want sex, drugs, whatever they want, a body, melanin, they got it right on Skid Row. They created it. And what I know, a lot of people don't know, and the people that do know won't talk about. So that's why I'm an activist. And I feel for those people, because I would be there if it wasn't for the Most High, people like Melvin, people that helped me, because they mark people and put them in a box. And okay, no way you get out but the Most High. That's a straight and narrow road out. They want to use you, put you there, and say they want to be there. And it's all engineered.
Okay. Then we're going to talk about that into, I want to dabble into some of that. But, Simon, you want to make a comment?
You know, Skid Row is serious, and a lot of times we take things for granted. We take things for granted. And, you know, I used to gang bang, and when I was a youngster, I took things for granted. But when you look at reality, reality can slap you in the face real good. And also, I'm homeless, but I choose to be. And with anything else, we choose to have sex, we choose whatever. Sell dope, smoke dope, drink, whatever. People choose to be homeless. And it becomes addictive when you don't want to obey and you want to follow your path. You know, you don't want to follow the path of the truth. You just want to follow the path of having fun. And there's consequences. You know, a wise man told me, grow up, Simeon. And put away toys. Put the toys away. And act like a true man and be responsible for everything that you say. And everything that you do. And I don't want to play the tough role no more. I want to be responsible to help my brothers and sisters by any means necessary. And I love my peoples now because I understand that they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever okay. I can do to help.
Okay. And then one thing about the the Skid Row in the downtown community, and I hear it all the time. I hear that Skid Row is a community just like any other community. Now, when I look at Skid Row and break it down, you know, one of the things that just stands out in my eyes is I see about 75 or 80% makeup of African Americans, you know, that's laying down there in the Skid Row area. So I look at that as more than just, we know the system is responsible when you track it all down and all that account. But I also feel that the people that should be in the vanguard of trying to solve this problem or making the life better down there for the community residents is the African-American leadership. This is an African-American problem also. We can't be reaching out for others to solve our problem. We got 75% African-American laying down there in the street. But we're going to get into details in a minute. Let me throw this question out. Besides the lack of low-income housing, we know that's a major problem behind homelessness. It's just not enough a low-income housing that people can afford. What do you think? I want to go around the table and you tell me, what do you think is a major problem facing the Skid Row community? Let's start with Earlene.
Wow. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think I always go back to when I was there because I can only talk from my experience and what I know. I say that there is not enough cooperation in working together of the Skid Row area. For example, the missions. There are three or four missions there. I don't have to call the name. People know. If each one would have more responsibility in networking with each other instead of each mission trying to get their own grants and fundings and operate separately from each other. I think if they came together and worked more together, they would be more productive and could help more people. That's my opinion.
Okay. Bobby, what do you see as the major problems down the Skid Row community, as you see?
Main thing I really see, like, first I was angry and upset with what was going on down there, but now I see that the main thing that I'm glad they are there, they are in place, but they need to be, all the materials and resources and technology need to be upgraded and enhanced down there. They need to get people, with all the money that comes in, they can call them nonprofits, but whatever, they make some profits. And the money does not go back into the community as it should be. And they can use that money to upgrade and enhance the services, the materials, and the resources down there to really help. But see, what I feel is if people are stuck with the love of the money that they do, that they wanted to keep the revolving door coming in so they can sign your name, get their signature, and keep the money coming. So they make more money by keeping people suppressed. So, but what I want to work with is show people a way you can make money by helping people.
Okay. Okay. Michelle, you want to pick up on that?
That's a real good question. I think, first of all, you know, I'm radical. I'm grateful y'all keep asking me back, but I got to tell it like I see it.
And that's what we want to hear.
Right on.
It's like it's a lie that it's a war on drugs, and they want those people there. If they wanted those people off, they'd be gone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, let's tell the truth that the service provider is sucking up all the money. They're not giving the people the services. Mm-hmm. People need more than food and socks because that enables them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They need, you know, first of all, spiritual oppression because a lot of them are oppressed. They don't even know it. Then they got microchips in them, experimental drugs. I talked to a homeless young man 2 days ago, told me, you know, he's suffocating in the house. He has to be free outside. And he's highly spiritual. Some of these people are highly spiritual and they want to be free of this evil society. So you got to minister to them on their level. Help them refining their purpose. Ain't no money going towards that. They getting them hooked off of heroin, the methadone, on Coca-Cola and cookies and cakes and candies. They're not trying to really help those people.
Right.
First, reveal that.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to ministry. Get them to find their purpose with some real detoxification. Not just hook back on some other capitalist product to keep them oppressed, whether it's on sugar, sweets, or another drug, you know, which is, it's keeping them from feeling, you know, they have purpose, they have value, they broken.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mentally, spiritually, and physically. So it's a spiritual ministry. You know, there's too many ministries. I mean, I love the Skid Row, but they're not telling them, you know, it's a sin to be in poverty. They oppress, demons of oppression, poverty, on transient spirits. I know, because they attacked me. And somebody is summoning them to attack our people so we won't get our birthright and be blessed.
Okay. Well, look, let me throw this out, because this is something that I've really been thinking about. You know, when you look at the downtown, because this is what we're discussing, downtown Skid Row and the homeless community, right? And it's something that I've been trying to develop in my head, but I think I'm going to talk about it now. Why don't you do another show on it? When you look at the downtown situation, they got an organization that they call BID, which I think means Business Improvement District. Now, the BID, one of the things that the BID, if you notice the BID, is two major things that you that's visible with this business organization. You see the guys on the bike that provides security for the different business. And then they had a cleaning crew that they take up on a regular basis. You see them up and down Main Street, not in the Skid Row area, up and down cleaning up and all like that. So, and how they make the bid come about, you know, you got different little bids in Arts District, downtown area. It's these different businesses chip in, and they form a powerful organization, almost like a little union. You know, and they unify in their particular plans. So I always ask the question, just like what Michelle was talking about earlier, you got these huge missions and et cetera down here. You know, I'm not afraid to list names and stuff because I don't work for any of them. I'm talking about the Union Rescue Mission. I'm talking about the Wine Guard, the Midnight Mission, the L.A. Mission, the Fred Jordan Mission. You can just go down, and then the small community organizations down here. See, why don't we have a Skid Row Improvement Association where we're putting some pressure on these people to get these huge budgets by using the homeless land down there? You know, why don't we have this where we can force some of these people take a little piece of their money, create a Skid Row Improvement Association, and then you could start off, pay some people, you could create some jobs within the people programs in there, a couple hours a day, have them out there, keep clear. Skid Row should be just as clean as the rest of the city. Unacceptable to have trash and stuff all up and down the street. And then we got enough nerve to sit up here, I mean, sit around here, our particular leadership, and say stuff like Skid Row is a community. If it's a community, it's not a kind of community that I visualize. I don't visualize no community with trash all up and down the street and drug addicts everywhere and stuff like that. We know what we're faced against. We got to be just as sharp and organized. That's what I mean about I want to get us away from concentrating so much on the problems
right.
and do what Bobby is talking about. It's the time to network and come up with some creativity. You know, that's the only way we're going to be a power in that downtown area. Simon, you want to say something?
Well, I have a nonprofit that I put together. It's dealing with job training and job placement. And the only reason why I get emotional is because I feel her spirit and I feel her spirit when they talk. When you talk about homeless people, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts bad.
Yeah,
I'm very emotional in that area. But as far as the job training and the job placement concern, we have to, I'm dealing with voting. Mm-hmm. With votes. And the most two powerful things on the planet Earth, voting and a petition.
Mm-hmm.
I need petitions. So if I get enough petitions saying that they want my service, then it'll be a wipeout. Because I won't be looking for the government, the governor, or the city of past L.A., the governor from Washington, D.C., or whatever. It'll be the people. Saying that we want your service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you have that type of service,
mm-hmm.
when you have that type of service helping the community, when you're not charging much, and they get a tax write-off,
mm-hmm.
you see. So if everybody pitch in $1 to clean up the Crenshaw District, that's jobs right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the donations that come in. So I'm working on some things to get this petition thing going.
Okay, because it's very important. Because I always thought one of the weaknesses that people forgot about during the revolutions of the 60s, the Carter Revolution that was going on in the 60s, is that you had all different kind of people all over the nations that worked together. They networked. They came together for things that they saw evil. They went all down south. They, hey, this was unacceptable.
Right.
This is evil. So you had not just the blacks. Or what, you had all people cross lines
right.
for that because that was unacceptable. Right. See, but now here in Los Angeles, if we don't watch ourselves, same thing that happened in Detroit. Mm-hmm. See, when people look away and next thing you see a city that have 2.5 million, over 2 million people, and then you look around, now you get 750,000 people tow up like that.
Yeah.
See, Bobby, you want to
see? No, I'm just saying, like where he's coming from, like me and him, we're working together on some stuff, and like the battle we're going through is spiritual and economical.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, one of the main things we need to work with, like job training and job placement and entrepreneurship and self-employment.
Mm-hmm.
We got to also get to teaching people how to fish again.
Yeah.
You know, we got to, what I'm saying about upgrading and enhancing the services, it's okay to give out, like you say, socks and, you know, food and feeding and all that stuff, but we got to educate and re-educate. Because mm-hmm. where I came from, an 18-year drunk and everything, and when I finally got my own place in April last year, it took me 2 or 3 months to get conditioned to having my own place.
Mm-hmm.
See, everything I went through it emotionally, and I know how to handle somebody else when I can say I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there and get their own place, hey man, you gotta go through this. It's a transition, so we gotta start working with the mentals of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Michelle.
Really quickly, what I wanna say is that's something we gonna have to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly. I mean, literally us at this table.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody else gonna do it. Okay.
Exactly.
Because they don't want those people. They got them, like I said, for food, sex, drugs, you know, genetic experiments, the ones that live, they're going to hurt them in the prison industrial complexes, the industry, free slave labor for black people, people in the trash that have been marked for extermination. You have to understand, they're not going to clean up. They don't clean up. OG had to start cleaning up with his own brigade.
Yeah.
They told General, when I say they, the city and the county both said Skid Row fell out of their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting enough that just north, south, and east of Skid Row, it's in some jurisdiction where the city or the county has enough money to clean up the streets. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, just like OG had his brigade, we're going to have to do that. And
and the question is, how do we do that?
Well, you know, Most High will make a way. Y'all here doing this. So mm-hmm. where there's a will, there's a way. We have to regain and get rid of, regain this. It's a self-preservation. You see, slavery bred that out of us, where we have to learn, each one teach one, help us to help someone help themselves. Like Bobby said, fish, don't just give it to them. You're making it worse.
Yeah.
You know, I know, because I get free food downtown every day if I want it. Mm-hmm. I get designer clothes. I know where to get. But you know what I'm saying is, it enables you because you start getting used to free stuff.
Yeah, for real.
You got eventually, we're going to have to learn to be competitive, or else we will not be here in 20 years.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to do that. And I think we can do that.
Yeah, we can.
We have to.
Well, okay. It's not a factor of can and will. Mm-hmm. It must.
Yeah.
For survival.
This is exactly. A mandatory.
We have to. It's a call.
Well, mm-hmm. we're talking about livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, the new generation that's coming up, mm-hmm. you know, and the respect that they need to learn to have.
Oh, yeah.
When I get on the bus, you know, it's a lot of, I'm crippled, you know, and they won't even get up for me.
That's right.
They won't get up for the elderly. So we all know that there's a lot of teaching must go on with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Big Brother and mm-hmm. Big Sister,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's called The Village.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and one of the things, and I was looking at, I saw a report that kind of alarmed me the other day. They were interviewing this minister, what's his name, Rick Warren, that mm-hmm. lost his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pointing out, he brought up a stat. He quoted the stat of the day and age that we live in now. He started off with African American. He was saying the African American family, 70% of youngsters is coming up single head of the household without fathers around. And then he went to the Hispanic, I think he said 50%. And then he went on to the Europeans, said 30%. Then he averaged it out, and he said that's 50% of the people that's coming up with no male figure in the household, you know, not just, I mean, this is the United States as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with what you're talking about. Because when I come up, you know, coming up being a product of the Deep South, you know, one thing, we were taught how to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and you would feel embarrassed using, it's almost unheard of to use some profane language around a grown person or something like that. Let me also, the next thing I want to throw out is because, I think it's time for us to be real and call out. We don't have to call out people by name, but see, we need to call out people who are not doing their job. From the top, people who pretend to be leadership, so I don't say if they're sitting on the city council, neighborhood council, where else?
Yeah.
Well, things is not changing, then people's not doing their job.
Well,
go ahead.
The way I'm setting this up,
yeah.
I don't want to speak up on nobody
mm-hmm.
because I want to turn this into the UN
mm-hmm.
in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
The UN is set up with all their enemies around the world, but they work together
yeah.
to keep their people in poverty, you know.
Yeah.
So we want to work together
yeah.
like the preachers,
yeah.
you know, the Muslims,
mm-hmm.
any temple that we come across, we want them to sign our petition saying yeah. this. Are you going to be a part of the problem? Or are you a part of the solution?
Yeah,
right
so
on.
So when they circle that part of the solution part, they are part of the movement.
Yeah, because one and it's one even one thing about the activists from the Six Brothers that was in the Nation. See, they need to be called out too. Why do they need to be called out? Because, look, when I was in the, when I came out of the Marines, you know, in 69, 71, right? And used to come through this downtown Los Angeles area, right? It used to be full of brothers from the Nation. You know, they were almost, they would compete against the Harry Christians that used to be down here in their little orange, getting their little money and stuff. My brother used to be all over Skid Row selling bean pies, newspapers every day, all Skid Row. I mean, you see now.
No.
You might see one or two down here. So all of them need to be called, especially the Muslims need to be more called out. I'm talking about the Orthodox and the Nation and all of them. Because at least, you got some of these big, huge organizations, these Christian organizations creating these missions and stuff. What we say is, hey, come down to Skid Row. We're tired of just hearing people talk about it like that. All these three major religions, they got a responsibility for creating the problem. They got a responsibility for helping us solve this problem also. Somebody else?
We're working together. Like, we want to kind of, like, say, not just call them out. We want to get people to work with us. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, say, like, well, I want to, with this movement, that's why I want to call it action. Like, people say, faith without works, you know, it's dead. So we got to start physically doing physical actions to help people.
Yeah. I definitely think you're right, because one of the things that happened to the community, they was able to segmentize and divide into so many different directions, fighting against each other. And I really think what you're doing with networking, making people work together on the things that they have in common.
Yeah.
You know, is the direction to head in. One more thing before we take a break for our community calendar, and I think this is important too. Police community relationship. Now, I was hoping, I had sent out an invitation to Officer Joseph also, because we had a conversation at USC. I'll talk about that at the second half of it. But I want to get your thoughts. How can we improve the police community relationships? And we're talking about in the downtown Skid Row area. Anybody want to tackle that?
Well, for one, you know, police officers are programmed for one thing and one thing only. It's divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they program for. You know, there's no unity within the police department, because every time they pull you over, they want to search you, they want to hold you up and do illegal things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I just said was illegal. But when you mention I'm with prepaid legal or let me make my phone call, they say, hold up, wait a minute, you know, you can go.
Mm-hmm.
So when we become more educated mm-hmm. with the law, then the police will be more in check.
Okay. Good.
You see. So it wouldn't be no, that's like, you know, bullies, you know, always talking bad to the females. Anytime you use a foul language towards another female, you're a bully. You know, and you're a man talking negative to a woman. See, we want to talk about the police department. We want to talk about the Muslims, the churches, anything that's huge and big mm-hmm. and have the knowledge and strength to destroy you, you're a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're taking that power and you're misusing it.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Can I say something?
Michelle.
I think I'd like to support one thing especially that Simeon said. It's about being in power with knowledge. Knowledge is power, and I learned the law from L.A. Can. So yes, some good cops. You understand, the police are told what to do, just like most people, especially now as we're, you know, going more into this new world order where they're experimenting on mind control, mass manipulation, and population control with subliminal programming, medications, microchips. Everything is watched. We're watched. Yeah. Everything is controlled. And if you resist it, then they hunt you and go on a witch hunt and smear your image. I go through there and they label you a terrorist. So I'm going to tell you is the police are paramilitary. They're told what to do. So knowledge will prevent them from violating the civil rights, because if you don't tell them, no, you do not have a right to search me without a probable cause or a search warrant, they gonna do it unless mm-hmm. you tell them no.
That's
especially
right.
If you don't mm-hmm. you don't have your video and witness. So that's that right. is true first. And then you know, having, you know, open communication like LA Can does, and then also exposing it.
Mm-hmm.
Exposing.
You know, yeah, because you got some good cops, but they under, you know, they told already, you know, these are bad people. They the problems. You know, get rid of the trash, clean up the streets, get rid of the. So, you know, I realized that I have to pray more for them as well. And one thing I want to say, everybody's not going to be saved. I wish they could be. You know, Earlene came up. You know, a lot of people from Skid Row, I know, had degrees, went down. Thank God they were able to get back up. A lot of people fall. They don't get mm-hmm. back up. But, you know, the Bible says, see, don't be a weed. Because what happens to the weed? You know, Earlene, what happens? They're going to be gathered up in what?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be burned.
Yep.
And God will let it happen for not using your gifts and talents.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See, people are saying, oh, the police, they're told what to do. But if we get out of the line and fire, you don't arm the police, especially in black communities, by being played by Klan cops and shooting your brother and your sister. You know what I'm saying? Go talk about it. That's what I like about the black riders. They were having, you know, basketball games and open forum discussions, and the police stopped it and called them communists and terrorists and gangbangers, but they were stopping. They got gang truces, and Maxine Waters were helping them. So the police, they gang. mm-hmm. You know, exposing it, and we're going to have to deal with it. But like Simeon said, knowledge will prevent them. You say, no, you don't have a right. I don't have to, you know, you don't have a right to detain me. Am I being arrested? Then I'm free to go.
All right, then. Look, let's take a break for our community calendar, and then we'll come back and talk about some more solutions to the homeless problem and also do a little open mic over there with Michelle.
This is the community calendar for the month of January. Tuesday, January the 4th, 2014, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Veterans Community Theater Workshop, also for veterans and non-veterans, will start on that date. What we will be doing for this session, we'll have a 10-week session, which will consist of training stage managers, training productions assistants, and stage costumes assistants. Registration is $25, which will go for supplies and workshop materials and more. Also, you can ask about qualifying for scholarships. Instructors for the training will be Melvin Ishmael Johnson. He will be teaching stage managers. Geza X and Patrick will be teaching production assistants. And Larva will be teaching stage costume assistant. Also, there are some other things to kick off this event. There will be one at the Southwest Library, and one at the Roby Theater Company will be also a part of this event that's coming up on the 14th. And the event will be held, the workshop will be held at the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, and that's located at the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. And for more information to register or pre-register, please contact Drama Stage 1 at yahoo.com or 213-908-6587. And again, that's Tuesday, January the 14th. The Veterans Community Theater Workshop will kick off for a 10-week session. This is a special event, Monday, January the 20th at 8 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran, the Peace Center, and ICUJP presents as part of celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, the reading of the play, If the Shoe Fit, Voices from Solitary Confinement. This was compiled by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Andy Griggs. Tune in and listen online live at www.skidrowstudios.com and click on the Qumran Report. And that's once again on the live show on Monday, January the 20th at 8 p.m., we will be doing a stage reading of the play, If the Shoe Fit. Monday, January the 28th, 2014, 7 p.m., the Nazana Zone open mic. And we will be calling all poets, spoken word artists, musician, and anyone who want to showcase their talent or announce an upcoming event or just come out to network. We will be taking sign-ups at 6 p.m., and you will get 5 minutes each. Your host for the evening will be Andrea Ross, and, that's Monday, January the 28th. Tuesday, January the 28th. And sign-up begin at 6 p.m., and you get 5 minutes each. Your host for the evening will be Andrea Ross and Willis Boyd. This is a free event, and all are welcome to attend. And also, light refreshments will be served. The location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. For more information, contact Drama Stage 1 at yahoo.com or 213-908-6587. And be sure and invite all of your friends to come out. That's Once again, Tuesday, January the 28th, will be the Nazana Zone open mic. And if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And the call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Now we're going to talk a little about solutions just for a minute, and then we're going to get into about 5 minutes of open mic with Michelle. I'm going to leave her enough time for that. But during Homeless Awareness Weekend, November 2013, I participated in a discussion forum at USC about the homeless in the county of Los Angeles, and I offered a short 3 to 5 minute presentation entitled How to Solve the Homeless Problem. And I would like to read from that document and discuss it for a moment. Now, President Dwight D. Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex when he was getting ready to leave office. Michelle Alexander warned about the prison-industrial complex. And I want you to keep in mind that there is also a homeless-industrial complex. And what do I mean by that? The more resources that you feed into these complexes, whether it's the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, or the homeless-industrial complex, the more it takes on a life of its own and become a bureaucracy. Now, the question is, how do you get this bureaucracy to transition and serve the need of the community? This is what you're going to have to figure out with all three of these, but especially with this emerging homeless industrial complex. Because if you don't, the more money that you put into this homeless industrial complex, you're just creating a bureaucracy. Because you're creating more jobs. You're creating people's livelihood is going to depend on keeping people in the street, keeping people homeless and mentally and all messed up like that. Now, what I suggested was a two-step process in solving the homeless problem. Step one, we must make the homeless problem the homeless veteran problem, simply because you got a huge percentage of the homeless that are veterans. And the federal government, which the military budget is the largest budget, the largest portion of the United States budget. So they got, not only do they have the money for that, but they owe these veterans that, who they have traumatized in these war zones. So the first step is to make the homeless problems the homeless veterans problem. Then you get a think tank, right? You finance a think tank to figure out, to come up with a solution and plan for this homeless veterans problem. And then you roll out the solutions for the rest of the homeless population. Okay, now, step two is you get to step one is something that is a long-term process. It's going to take some time for something like that. But step two is something that can happen immediately. They could get involved in this right now, the community activists, individuals in the community. We need to get these major religions, especially these three major religions, but all of these religious organizations, we need to get them to start buying or renting up all of this empty city property that we got around here. Develop programs and begin to bring people out of that Skid Row area, make them part of whatever organization, like what you're talking about. But networking is the it's important in terms of that. That is something that we can make happen right now. See, because one thing about these three major religions, all of their religious prophecies, especially when it comes to Christians, and the prophecy about the Messiah. Talk about people in prisons. Talk about the homeless. That's their obligation. If they don't do that, the rest of they wasting their time out here going to hitting these pulpits and stuff, because it have been articulated in their scripture what they supposed to be about. And it don't start off with any big churches and suits and Cadillacs and all like that. You know, it says getting these people up out of the prisons and providing for those in need. All three of these are major religions. So that was my solution in terms of the 3 to 5 minute presentation. Anybody want to pick up on it?
I'd like to say something. I think that that's an excellent practical working model to begin to remove the people out of the swath of the paramilitary and the police brutality that most people never hear about. Mm-hmm. We see some of it. We don't even see all the people they kill. You know, in regentrification, just to remove what is mostly our people from that street. So I think that's people being tortured. And you talk about, I know about that, human experiments, and they label the whistleblowers and the survivors crazy, delusional, to cover up what they're doing. Organs are a major industry. Melanin is too, interferon, mm-hmm. like they, kill those young black boys in Atlanta. All that's still going on. Our people are wealthy in terms of genetic engineering. Mm-hmm. That's another show. Okay. Let me speak to the military, prison, homeless, industrial complex, and keeping people broken. The hospital is another industry. Keeping people, the mental hospital, and that feeds back into the pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. So we do not mm-hmm. want to be just guinea pigs and fodder. And again, I think that your idea is a wonderful practical model. And I know people, where there's a will, there's a way. You put out the Most High will make a way. We just have to receive the people coming through and people that want to get out mm-hmm. of that. That's one road to destruction. I know people want to be free from the capitalism, the evil, yeah. white supremacy, whatever the evil is they perceive this society to be. Mm-hmm. And there's another way out. Well, Skid Row is temporary, but it's not the way, I think, out to freedom. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not.
Okay.
Well, I like what the outline, what you said, because it's barking up my tree, yeah. mm-hmm. And either you're going to be a part of the problem or you're going to be part of the solution. That's the coldest slogan that I ever came up with.
Uh-huh.
Because it's forcing the wheat and the tear to separate.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's doing. Now, if you're a part of the solution and we come together and talk about these things, but talk about A, B, and C, let's get the jobs thing going where we're cleaning up our community. Also, we're going to have... real estate market. The real estate market, they love my idea of giving these people a place to stay where they ain't got to pay no rent. Mm-hmm. Their money will be going towards an investment, and they get a return back from their investment. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go in detail with that because okay. it's too powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want nobody to steal an idea yeah. how you can bring up a whole new stock market.
Okay.
Bobby, you want to say
stock market? Oh, no, I'm just saying, yeah, what you're saying is what we're working on. Because, the one word I heard that sticks with me is called inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to include those who want to be included, those who don't, they sit back. One thing, people say the word change, but most people really don't want to see it or they're not ready for it.
Okay. Now, Michelle, let's move over and have you do what poem are you going to do for us?
I think I'm going to do a poem called The Land. I might have done this before, but I wrote this specifically when I was working very closely with L.A. Can, and regentrification had just started.
Okay.
So it let us speak for itself, because we define the status quo here.
All right. And leave me about a minute on it.
Okay.
Can wind down.
Okay, because the wheat, the good wheat, and then the tares, we're going to get people to get together, prove that they not the bad seed.
Right.
Okay. Okay, but this is called The Land. This land is your land. This land is my land. Is it the land that is bound to the man, or is it the man that is bound to the land? I ask this because I can, not just because I'm down with L.A. Can, but because I am a mayor I can, not proud to be. as I see USA is controlled by the Ku Klux Klan. I've been banned because I speak the truth, but they coming. They say this is theirs on Skid Row, and they want it for their use. Here they come even now. I can see some of them out there in the crowd, forever walking their little dogs. But the land, do they have to take it and hog it all? They come taking that which was not ours is not theirs. For the land belongs to God. You know, we got to learn. They got to learn how to share. They come taking the treaties they be breaking. They come taking the land. They say it's theirs. They refuse to share. They don't care. They come taking and the treaties they be breaking. I feel like I'm in the Congo, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, or Mexico. Like the Native Americans raped and robbed of their land, like demons from some goddamn ark, they come in packs, not just by two and two or pairs. They're full of, their devils full of greed, and their love for money is a lust upon and from which they feed. They have no care or concern about our rights or our need. Who are they? Will they be the gentry kept in the status quo by the city council as well? They say you are dirty, ugly, skinny. We don't want to look at you. We will get paid kickbacks and raise the rent for someone else who has a little dog on a leash, just like us. We like it on that other side. All you others, you can go to hell, hide, or just die. This is for us. This is ours. That's what they say. They don't give a fuck just what man or woman, disabled, old, senior, vet, no feet, no food to eat night or day. Is out in the streets as long as they get their greed on. This is ours. It's for our use. We want it. It's for us. We want the best. Yes. As long as we get what we want. No less. No second best. Now, there is the middle class, and only the rich and the rest. Yet and still they call themselves good. Well, some have no heat, nothing to eat, nowhere to sleep, all because of their greed. I just don't know how they could sleep. They have no conscience, while some live in boxes. Well, they say, we are good, you are bad. You've had the same opportunities that we have had. Well, that's not true. You know, Gilmore and Maryland pay them off and show them off to police, harass, intimidate, kill, and beat people down the street each and every day. Only the newspapers won't say, because they are told they want to be down, that they are all bad, dirty, nasty. Who cares? They say they are all trash, all thieves, crackheads, crazy, and prostitutes. I know, because they say the same thing about me. Then they try to use you. Kick them out. Just get rid of them. We will pay you. We want their rooms so we can convert them into our lofts. We don't care how many suffer, how many lives are lost. They are blocking. They must go no matter what the cost.
Gotta wind them.
They intimidate because of their hate. Bids, police all paid. SCI covers up the lies to justify homicides for the lives that they take each and every day on Skid Row, San Julian, and San Pedro. Old people, vets, disabled. Some ain't got no water, no heat, and won't take their rent. No, or give receipts. Just told to go out into the streets where the popo can kill them, covering up the sin. Can and will kill for the thirst and the fun of blood that will run hungry for the hunt of our flesh. They fail to feel with great zest and great zeal our souls they steal. Perry, Wesson, Parks, it's all about the money. Apparently, how can they live with themselves? If it was up to me, their souls, I would damn to hell. Unless their minds they can change and allow affordable rent to remain the same unchanged. Well, I will stand right where I am, right where I can, and vow to reclaim the land, for I'm bound to it and is bound to me. No, I don't own it, for no one can but God Almighty. I speak the truth, and I hope one day you will speak it with me. Equal opportunity. This land is our land. This land is your land. This land is our land.
Okay, Michelle Autry, we are winding down. Our special guest in here, Shawna Talent, Michelle, beautiful piece. And now, next week on the Ku Round Report, I will have a special in-studio interview with Manuel O.G. Man Capito, and Bobby Buck will be here with his 15 Minute of Fame. And I would like to extend a special thanks to Michelle Autry, Bobby Buck, Levi Contreras. Yeah. Didn't get a chance to say that much on and say, hey, we're going to bring you true, back. You know? Simeon Duckworth, enjoyed this show. And to my co-host, Earlene Anthony, now please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, Tumblr, Googler, and skidrow.la. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with the song that opened the show, Darker Than Blue by Willis and Shantae of Positive Light Ministry. Are we gonna be around this town and let what they said come true?
You from the wall to the door, what you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA, Skid Row Studios, motherfucker. Many have tried to replicate, many have tried to imitate, but there's only one true underground show. You have called it the real deal in underground extreme music. The Jimmy Cab's Very Manic Show, only on Skid Row Studios every Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Skid Row Studios.
Hello, this is Dark Mark of the Dark Mark Show, and here's my sexy co-host, Josie Cat.
Hello, Dark Minions.
Catch the lighter side of the dark side, your weekly freak show, every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, only on
SkidRowStudios.com.